Good morning. How are you all? It's good to hear into about the fire and the dove and the different aspects of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's God. God, the Holy Spirit. And get to know God. God, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He wants to speak to each one of us, as Steve has said this morning. Wow. I'm really excited about today, are you? Today's picnic day. I'm excited about a picnic. Well, I hope you brought your picnic. There's something nice, isn't there, about eating outside? Let's move that away a little bit. Enjoying the surroundings, enjoying sitting down with people you know. Good front company, friends. What might spoil a good picnic? It's not raining yet. You're okay. I think it's going to be okay. Too much sun as well if it's too hot. I mean, the other day was just so hot. We went outside and we came straight back in, it was just too hot, wasn't it? And, And what else might spoil a good picnic? Wasps, you might have forgot the food, yeah. Has anyone forgot the food today? Well, sit next to someone who's got a big picnic. Please share as you, we've got a salad you can share. It got me thinking anyway, thinking about picnics, and it got me thinking about Jesus, the stories in the Gospels. And so today I'm going to bring you the story of the 5,000, feeding the 5,000. And it's a story you probably know very well. It's a story that's well documented in the Bible. It's in all the Gospels, so it must be really important to us to know this story about the feeding of the 5,000. And there's also the feeding of the 4,000, as someone reminded me this morning, but I'm not going to talk about that today. It's a very memorable picnic indeed, the feeding of the 5,000. Let's start off by reading the account. We'll look at John's Gospel, John 6, for the account of the 5,000. So it's the first 15 verses, and I think it's hopefully we can have it up on the screen as well. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias even, and a great cloud of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed in healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. It's a wonderful account, isn't it, of this amazing miracle. And, you know, in verse 5, we see Jesus, and he kind of was sitting on the mountain with his disciples, and he saw this great crowd coming towards him. And this kind of follows on from the story, John the Baptist, and he's beheaded, and Jesus just wanted to get away to somewhere quiet with his disciples. You know, he's kind of probably mourning, death of John the Baptist. And he saw this great crowd coming towards him. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, it says that we read that Jesus' disciples had withdrawn to a place called Bethsaida. They wanted that peace and quiet. But the crowds had followed them. They were hungry. They were hungry for more. And Jesus welcomed them. He didn't turn them away. He welcomed them. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who needed healing. But it was getting late. And they were in a remote place. And the disciples were concerned about what to do with all these people. Disciples, Andrew, he was a local to that area. And he says, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" And Philip replies, "What? You must be kidding. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for just a small bite for everyone." I checked this out. A pack of tuna mayo sandwiches at the co-op is £1.40. And if you had one triangle each, so each of you had one triangle each, and we made that for the 5,000 plus all their family, that would cost 14,000 in today's money. So you can get an idea of the scale of things, yeah? And it's kind of, maybe half a year's wages, even in today's money. And the narrative in Luke put it this way. Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And the disciples are a bit of a loss, aren't they? They don't have any money. They don't have any food. And finally, Andrew steps forward. And here is a boy, small boy, with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Not much of a meal, is it? But how far will they go amongst so many is his response. How far will they go among so many? Have you ever been in that situation where the outlook just seems so impossible? Humanly speaking, there's no logical way to help. And when you consider your resources and you look at your resources, it only just seems to magnify the problem. And I really like verse 6, where Jesus asked the question of Philip. He says it was to test him, because Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. Just remember that when you're facing a difficult situation. That's a good encouragement to us. Jesus has a plan for us. He knows our situation. He has you in mind. And we need to seek the mind of Christ, don't we? We talked about hearing God's voice today, the small, still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to hear his voice for our situations that we're facing. And this was the case here with Philip. How do you respond to a testing situation? Could it be that in every challenge there is an opportunity for you to demonstrate your faith to God? And you might be sitting here this morning saying, who is this Jesus that he might ask these difficult questions of me? And we sang about him this morning. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is one of the Holy Trinity, God in three persons. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a spiritual figure. He's not someone who's just, you know, got a few special gifts. Maybe he can attract followers. He's not someone on YouTube or TikTok. He's God. So when Jesus, God, Son of God, asks Philip for his local knowledge of where to go and buy a sandwich, for these people, it's quite an amusing question. We're talking about God having a sense of humor. And just a little aside here. Do you know there's sometimes a danger, you know, that we need to recognize? And it's the danger of complacency. And it's because of our knowledge. It's because of where we are. We get familiar, don't we, with where we are. And, you know, we may be a little bit like that this morning coming in. We were familiar with where we were. And, you know, we think we know the answer. We think we know what's going to happen. And, you know, we're in our comfort zone. And they always say that road accidents always happen or can happen more often when you're driving on familiar roads, because you tend to switch off. You tend to drive by just by your kind of, you know, when you're off your guard, something happens. And maybe something is happening here with Philip. You know, Jesus appeals to Philip's local knowledge. And Philip just falls at the first hurdle. He answers from his head knowledge, rather than recognizing that standing right alongside him is the Son of God. The all-knowing God is standing right beside him. Why on earth would he be asking him, you know, where the nearest shops are? You know, it just doesn't, yeah. God in person is there, the font of all knowledge. Of course, when Jesus says, you give them something to eat, it gets a little bit more challenging, doesn't it? And the all-knowing, all-powerful God had compassion on the people that had been listening to him all day. They needed food. There was no town. There was no co-op just around the corner. There's no Deliveroo. Jesus knows our needs, and he has us in mind. And he wants to help us. And he wants us to help others. And this is a story, is a great reminder that God chooses to work through his people. The account in Luke says that the disciples distributed the food. Jesus gave thanks. Have we got the picture? Yeah, there we go. Jesus prayed for the food, broke the bread, and the disciples gave it out. And it was multiplied, wasn't it? And he continues to ask this question of each one of us. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? You know, his time on earth, he modeled this life of faith. He showed his disciples, his followers, how to live. And it was simple. Take what you have, the 5 small barley loaves, the 2 small fish, and gave thanks. Give what you have to God. Involve God in this challenge. Everything we have is given by God. He is the source of life and everything that sustains life. Acknowledge we need you, God. We may face impossible circumstances and we feel totally unresourced to address the need. But God knows our circumstances and he just asks for us to acknowledge him and give him what we have, that he can use that which we give him. Isn't that liberating? They don't worry about that huge crowd that's gathering. Don't worry that they're hungry and need feeding. Don't worry that we're miles away from anywhere. Don't worry that there's a long way to the shops. Don't worry that even though we haven't even got enough money to buy that food. Instead, understand the importance of the challenges that he sets before us. This is not ours to ignore, to walk on by, but this is a test set by a loving and compassionate God who cares about everyone. He cares about you. This is a test of who we are depending on. In whom do we trust? And I can just imagine this scene at the picnic of Jesus holding this little boy's packed lunch. And it, you know, you can just imagine it, can't you? You know, Jesus is there holding this, you know, kind of five small loaves and two small fishes. You know, you can hardly see it. And the disciples are instructed to go and walk around the crowd and say, sit down, please. Groups of 50, please. We're going to bring the food round shortly. Yeah? Takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? You know, there's a big lesson here in trusting, in being obedient to the word of God, Jesus. And as they went, as they distributed the bread and the fish, they had as much as they wanted. This was 5,000 men that they counted, and there would have been their wives and their children as well. There could have been many as 20,000 there that day. What does that tell us about God? This wasn't rations, was it? This wasn't let's make the meal stretch. We've all done that, haven't we? This was a mighty miracle. And then, of course, this will please all of you good ecological people here in Bradford and Avon. Gather of all the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Pick up the litter. I don't know. You could look at it that way. Pick up the scraps. Because every single piece is a gift from God. Don't be wasteful, is what I take away from this. Don't be wasteful. Talk about making a point. Jesus really underlines, doesn't he? This great miracle with a demonstration to the disciples that he is able and he can be trusted. And he did not disappoint their faith in him. And when they stepped out to serve him, he had them in mind. And he provided for all they needed and even more. Praise God. And he provided 12 baskets of scraps. And all those little pieces add up. And at the end of the day, they could plainly see that he had multiplied far beyond what they had given. So I think there's a principle here of stewardship. Wasting what God has given us is not right. The little he puts in our hand, we need to use wisely. If we are faithful with little, he will give us more. If we read a little bit further, John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. In this passage, Jesus said he's the bread of life. You know, breads are kind of like an essential staple, isn't it? Jesus is the bread of our lives. He is a sustainer. It's what keeps us going. Sustainer of all things. And we can trust in him. We can look to him. Not just for our picnic lunch. Not just for our day-to-day needs. But to provide for us eternally. He is the bread of life. We had no possibility, just like that crowd, we had no possibility of buying our eternal salvation. No way of paying for our debts. Our debt of sin that condemns us. We're all hungry for forgiveness. The pardon for sin that only God can provide. Jesus is the bread of life. He came to earth as a perfect babe, dying for all mankind, regardless of their religions, regardless of their backgrounds, regardless of who you are. And he was broken for us, just like that bread he broke, given for us, so that all who choose to believe in him, his provision, what he did, may receive pardon from God and a new life that only God can bring. And salvation through Jesus is a miracle. It's a gift freely given for all. And it's a miracle we also get to share. God is not distant from us, but he works through us to demonstrate his love and his power. In our weakness, he is our strength. Look to Jesus today. So as we end, just think about that. What tests are you facing at the moment? I know many of you got big challenges you're facing. Know this, that God cares for you. He has you in mind, and he has plans for you. Acknowledge your need of God, need of Jesus. Need for his knowledge, need for his wisdom, his almighty power, his fire in our lives. Have faith. Put your trust in him and follow his ways. And lastly, value what he's given you. You might not think it's very much, but use it wisely and he will multiply. Jesus is God. He is the bread of life, and whoever comes to him will never be driven away. Praise God. Amen.